my kids, because Dad said so. Mr. Ward. I look up over the twins' heads. Dr. Peters. With my kids still held securely in my arms, I cock my head, silently asking him if we need to be alone. It's good news, Mr. Ward. Good news. I look through the window to Ava's seemingly lifeless body on the bed. She looks exactly the same as she has since coming out of surgery. Non-responsive. No improvement. Good news. The scan we did this morning has shown the swelling has subsided considerably over the past 12 hours. My head swings back toward him, the kids breaking away from me. He says it's good news, so why does he still look so serious? And? I question. It's still early days, and the extent of the damage won't be clear until she comes around. But it's a step in the right direction. I know I should feel relieved, but the word damage is a constant in my mind. They're like priming me for something. Thank you, Doctor. I end the conversation there, refraining from asking the questions I need to, not in front of the kids. I look to Elizabeth, who moves towards us before I ask. I'll take them in, she says, gesturing the kids towards the entrance of Ava's room. They should talk to her, the doctor suggests. Quietly, but they should talk to her. Elizabeth takes the children into the room, leaving me alone with the doctor. Damage, I say, returning my attention to him. Tell me honestly, what's the probability? It's impossible to say until she's awake. While she's in a coma, her brain is resting, giving it the best chance to heal. I don't want to ask, and I won't. She will wake up. Of course she will wake up. So what are you doing in the meantime? I ask, unable to keep the curtness from my tone. It's all a load of ifs and buts. That's all I'm getting. Through my fog of growing fury, I notice the doctor looking a little wary all of a sudden, backing up, and I realize I'm glaring at him, my jaw ticking, my body moving forward. Mr. Ward, we're doing all we can. And what if it's not enough? Just as I utter the words, I hear the shrill shriek of Ava's mother, and I'm flying into the room like a bull, the doctor hot on my heels. I don't know whether to be elated or terrified by what I find. Ava is squirming around on the bed, sobbing and distressed. Mum! Maddie cries, getting tugged back from the bed by an alarmed-looking Jacob. Dad, what's wrong with her? I hadn't noticed the doctor passing me at the end of the bed, but he's now by Ava's bedside, pressing buttons, shifting machinery, hands working frantically around my girl. Ava? He says urgently. Ava, can you hear me? He looks across to me, then nods to the children. I understand his silent order, but I'm damned if I can move to follow it. My heart is going crazy in my chest, my legs full of lead. She looks like she's having the worst kind of nightmare, or a seizure. Is it a seizure? Mr. Ward! The sharp snap of my name shocks me to life, and I grab my kids' hands, pulling them out of the room with me. I can't see Ava like this, knowing there's fuck all I can do about it. I feel more helpless now than when she was unconscious. I look back through the glass in a state of total shock. We should get coffee, Elizabeth suggests, in an attempt to keep me busy while the doctors work on Ava. I look down at each of my children in turn, Maddie first, her face tear-stained and red. And then Jacob. He's looking up at me, squeezing my big hand in his small one. They realign me, bring me back to where I should be. I stand taller and swallow down my shock. Yes, let's get something to drink while the doctors do what they need to. Well, what are they doing? Maddie looks back to Ava's room, and I quickly pull her back around, giving her a warning look. Helping Mum. It takes everything in me not to look back myself. What I've already seen will haunt me forever. After I force the kids to have some water and a sandwich, we go back to the ward in silence, my mind caught between dread and hope. I have no idea what I should be bracing myself for, what I should expect. And that scares me to death, the unknown, the lack of control. When we arrive at Ava's room, the doctor is outside making notes. He looks up and smiles mildly, and hope takes over the dread. "She's settled," he says. "Her eyes are open, she's perfectly aware of her surroundings, and she told me her name and date of birth." "Oh, thank God!" Elizabeth grabs my arm and squeezes while I have to close my eyes to stop the tears of relief escaping. Once I'm sure they're under control, I look down at my smiling babies. "What did I tell you?" I ask them seriously. "Always listen to your dad. You got that?" They both nod, cuddling into my chest as I mentally yell at myself for ever doubting it. I knew she wouldn't leave me. I knew she'd fight for me and the kids. "She's just having some water and getting a few tubes removed," the doctor says. "We can go back in once the nurse has taken her vitals. I just need to run a few more tests, but you're welcome to join me in the room." "Thank you," I breathe, squeezing the kids into me. "Thank you so much."
"You're welcome, Mr. Ward."
He looks to the door when it opens and a nurse exits. "Shall we?" I take a deep breath, suddenly a bit apprehensive. I haven't looked into my wife's eyes for nearly 2 days, and the thought of doing it now is making me a pathetic, nervous fool. What's wrong with me? The nurse looks to Elizabeth as she passes us and smiles. She's asking for her mum. Elizabeth's hand goes to her chest and a mild whimper as she takes the lead, rushing to her daughter's bedside. A small part of me is happy for her. For the most part, I'm hurt that she hasn't asked for me, her husband. But I quickly put the silly slight aside and follow Elizabeth in with the children. I find my mother-in-law hunched over Ava on the bed, trying to hug her as best she can around the wires and tubes. I can hear the quiet sobs, and when I hear Ava's voice, I smile. Not just because she sounds like my wife, if a little rough in the throat, but because she sounds totally with it. "My head hurts," she complains. "Oh, darling, of course it hurts." Elizabeth's light laugh as she speaks is loaded with joy. "Look who's here." She moves away from Ava, opening up a direct path to me and the twins. I move forward, desperate to look into those eyes, to touch her and feel her respond, even if it's just a light squeeze of my hand. I've missed her so much. But when our eyes connect, Ava frowns, flicking her gaze to the children and then back to me. I stop, watching carefully as she seems to assess us. Where's the sparkle in those eyes I love so much? Where's the love? My heart slows to a faint thud in my chest, my joy fading with it. Something isn't right. "Ava, do you know who this is?" the doctor asks warily. My head swings toward him in horror. "Of course she does," I blurt. "What is he suggesting?" The doctor ignores me and moves closer to Ava, whose eyes are still passing continuously between me and the kids. Still no sparkle, still no love. "Ava, tell me your full name." She doesn't hesitate. "Ava O'Shea." I recoil, not quite sure what to make of this. The doctor flicks a glance toward me. I don't know what to make of his look either. "Ava, do you know who this man is?" "What?" I blurt, my horror growing. The horror reaches unspeakable heights when my wife slowly starts to shake her head. "No." I gasp, suddenly struggling for breath. "No." "Oh my goodness," Elizabeth breathes, coming straight to me and claiming the children. "Come on, darlings. Let's go find your pap." She stares them out of the room, both of them looking back at me with confusion all over their faces. And I just stand there, useless, staring into the eyes of the woman who rules my heart, trying to comprehend what's unfolding. "Ava?" I barely get a name out, my mind frantically searching for words.
"Can you tell me how you crashed your car?" the doctor pushes on.
She shakes her head in a frown, reaching up to rub her forehead, but her eyes never leave mine. They're holding me frozen where I stand,
taking me in. And this man isn't familiar to you, Dr. Peters asks, making notes while he talks. I hold my breath, begging she puts this right, praying that I didn't hear her correctly, that she's just confused. Of course she remembers me. I'm her husband. I'm the man who would lay down his life for her. She has to remember me. She studies me for a few moments, looking me up and down, as if trying hard to place me. My heart cracks. I don't recognize him. She looks down at the sheet, and the inevitable tears start to pinch the back of my stunned eyes. Do you have any children, Ava?
No.
She almost laughs, quickly looking up at me again. My world shatters into a million shards of devastation, and I stagger toward a nearby chair, sitting down before I fall. Her gaze follows me the entire way. You don't remember me, I whisper the words.
Should I?
She asks, her laughter gone and clear worry in her tone. Her reply slays me. It turns my stomach and rips my broken heart from my chest. I want to scream at her, tell her that yes, yes, she should remember me. Everything we've been through, everything we've done together, how much we love each other.
Ava, this is your husband.
The doctor points toward me where I'm slumped in a chair. Jesse. But I'm not married, she argues, seeming to be getting frustrated. Frustrated. She's frustrated. I hate myself with a vengeance for concluding that she has no fucking idea. I positively hate myself. She doesn't remember me, her husband, her lord. I can't take this. I'm going to throw up. I dash out of the room and sprint down the corridor, thrusting the door to the men's open with force and falling into a cubicle. I haven't eaten for days, but that doesn't seem to be a problem for my stomach. I retch and cough over the toilet. She's forgotten me. Forgotten our kids. What is this madness? My body starts to ache with the force of my retching, and when I finally accept that there's nothing to bring up, I push myself up with too much effort and move to the sink to splash my face. I stare at myself in the mirror. I don't even recognize myself right now. I'm pasty, my eyes are sunken, and I look drained. I am drained. I was before Ava came around, and the small, momentary sliver of life I found when she opened her eyes has been cruelly snatched away. What am I going to do? How do I fix this? The only thing in this world that keeps my heart beating doesn't know who I am. A tap on the door prompts me to look past my frightful reflection. Mr. Ward. The doctor's voice has lost all the hope that filled it when Ava woke from a coma. Now it's back to sympathetic. Mr. Ward, are you in there? The door opens and Dr. Peters appears, his lips pressed tightly together when he finds me holding myself up by the basin. She doesn't remember me. Her own husband, and not even our babies. I swallow down the lump, making me choke on every word, wondering why I'm posing it as a question. It's not like I heard her wrong. It's not like I didn't see the total blankness in her eyes when she looked at me and the twins. The doctor enters the men's, shutting the door quietly and slowly behind him. Clearing his throat and plunging his hands into his pockets, he finds my eyes in the mirror. I can't turn to face him. My hands wedged against the edge of the basin are the only thing holding me up. Mr. Ward, it would seem your wife is suffering from amnestic syndrome. What? I snap. Memory loss. No fucking shit, Brainiac, I mutter. Is he just going to state the fucking obvious? Ignoring my rudeness, he goes on. Having chatted briefly with Ava, there appears to be a clear divide in her memory. What do you mean? I ask, my forehead bunching. I mean, from what I have established thus far, there is an obvious cut-off point in her memory. He points to the side of his head. The part of her brain that stores certain memories has been traumatized. Our ability to recall memories is a very complex process, without the added handicap of a brain trauma. I close my eyes, trying to allow all the information to sink in. What are you saying, Doctor? I ask outright. I'm saying your wife has lost the last 16 years of her life. What? I swing around to face him. That's me. All of me. All of our time together. Are you telling me she won't remember any of it? Nothing. The majority of patients who suffer from amnesia as a result of trauma will recover fully. How long that recovery takes depends on so much. The severity of the injury, the patient's frame of mind, their short-term and long-term memory. The majority of patients, I ask, homing in on that part and that part alone. Ava is a young, healthy woman, Mr. Ward. The odds are in her favor. And if she doesn't fully recover? The memories remain lost, he says, bluntly, making me wince. The kids' lives to this point. Me. She'll lose it all. What about medication? There is no physical or mental disorder present, Mr. Ward. She doesn't need medication. What she needs is her family to help her retrieve her lost memories, to support her. There are many therapy options we can consider, such as cognitive behavioral therapy, EMDR, energy psychology, neurofeedback, and maybe even hypnosis. His spew of words means nothing to me. I'm lost in this crazy. She doesn't even know who I am, I grate. What am I supposed to do? Just take her home and hope she'll suddenly remember me? It's all you can do, Mr. Ward. That and support her in any therapy sessions we decide to try in order to help. He takes the door handle, smiling mildly. Ava realizes that she's forgotten things. That'll be both frustrating and upsetting, especially where her children are concerned. She might have issues with short-term memory too, and daily life will take its toll. You need to be strong, Mr. Ward. You need to help her try to remember. I don't think remind-the-fuck is going to suffice right now, I mumble. Pardon? The doctor looks at me like I might be going Lula. He could be right. I shake my head and try to take in what he said. Help her. Help her try to find the endless memories we share. I stand up straight and pull my shoulders back. A physical act of determination that I'm trying so hard to back up with mental determination. I can do this. I have to do this. There's no way I'm going to allow our history to slip away like it never happened. No way. I'll do anything. I'll do whatever it takes. I nod to myself and make my way to the door, passing the doctor without another word. Now full to the brim with the mental determination I was missing only a moment ago. There's only one way to approach this. Gently. Patiently. Sensitively. Softly, softly. I blow out a breath, laughing at myself. Good God, this is going to be a battle like no other. Chapter 8. As I approach her room, Ava is sitting up a little in the bed, her fingers twiddling with the thin white sheets. The wound on her head has been redressed, the bandage stark white against her dark hair. Her face is full of concentration, her eyes squinting every now and then. She's trying to remember, and it breaks my fucking heart to see it. It also renews my resolve. I'll die before I let her memories turn to dust. I rap softly on the open door, prompting Ava to look up quickly. She winces, bringing her hand to the back of her neck and rubbing. I'm across the room like a bullet, forgetting everything gently, gently. For fuck's sake, Ava, be careful! I stop abruptly a few feet from her bed when she recoils, looking at me with wide, shocked eyes. Oh shit. Too much. Every instinct is telling me to rub her neck for her, to chastise her for not taking care of herself, and chastise her more when her inevitable feistiness kicks in. But instead, and it fucking kills me, I back up,
giving her a little space. You should be careful, I say, an air of awkwardness already drenching the small room, and I've not even introduced myself. Introduced myself? Do I need to do that? I frown at my feet, wondering what the fucking hell to say. Oh, hey, pleasure to meet you. I'm your husband. You call me the Lord. I'm a crazy, challenging, unreasonable pain in your ass. I'm possessive. I trample all over the place, your words, not mine. But by some fucking miracle, you love me nonetheless. We have sex. Lots of it. And you humor my need to have you wearing lace every day. Oh, did I mention that I owned a sex club one time? The Manor? It's now some swanky golf complex. We fell in love fast. Well, I did. You played hard to get, so I stalked you until you relented, because I knew there was something there. We made so much fucking sense. But then my crazy past started to get in the way, and I thought it would be a good idea to try to hide it all from you. Oh, and I forgot one of the main points. I'm a recovering alcoholic. Before I met you, I drank and I fucked many women. That was my life. We've had some pretty shitty times, but the good far outweighed the bad, and you stuck by me through it all. I really don't deserve you, but you stayed with me despite all of my sins, and to top it all off, you gave me my babies. Two perfect babies. Did I mention I was married before you? No? Well, I was. I also had a little girl, but I lost her. I cough away the distress creeping up into my throat, the enormity of my situation slapping me hard in the face. I've always been in awe of Ava's ability to love me so fiercely. Please, God, please. I beg that she finds that ability again. So, apparently, you're my husband, she says quietly, an inappropriate tinge of humor lacing her statement. I look up through my lashes, wondering if it's a good thing that she seems a bit amused by the fact that she has a husband. Then I catch sight of her frowning face and conclude that it's a bad thing. She's looking at me in... Oh, fuck, is that disappointment? Maybe she's not so surprised that she's married, just surprised that she's married to me. You look... taken aback. I move across to the chair and sit down calmly, watching as Ava starts to spin her wedding ring on her finger. She shrugs a little. I guess you're a little older than I imagined. Another frown. Well, if I ever imagined I would be married. Ouch. I shift on my chair, injured, though showing it would be selfish, given the state of my wife. You're only as old as the woman you feel, I mutter pathetically instead.
So how old am I?
38.
I am?
She recoils, surprised.
Then how old are you?
My lips press together, not prepared to reveal that little detail. It's like deja fucking vu. 21, I say coolly, trying not to scowl at her when her eyebrows jump up in surprise. And she coughs. She fucking coughs. My scowl breaks free and my teeth grind, but I can't pull her up on it.
21.
I nod, confirming that I really am a twat. I might have lost my memory, but I haven't lost my eyesight. Well, isn't she just full of compliments? It's just a game we used to play.
A game where you lied about your age.
I laugh under my breath a little. Pretty much. I neglect to mention the reason behind my tactics at the time, because I'm adopting the same tactic now. I don't want to put her off, and that's a killer of a thought at this stage in our lives. I've been married to this woman for 12 fucking years, and I'm worried she might reject me. What kind of fucked up nightmare am I in? Though, Lord knows, it's going to take a lot more asks to reach my real age on this occasion. And I definitely won't be sharing how she finally managed to extract the information from me all those years ago. I shudder, recalling the hellish few hours that she had me handcuffed to the bed. I sigh and inch forward in the chair, scrubbing my hands through my hair.
Do you remember anything? I ask, my eyes pleading with her. Not one tiny thing, Ava. Her face fills with sadness, but I'm not sure if it's sadness for me or sadness for herself. She shakes her head, looking back down at her wedding ring. I feel so misplaced. Her voice cracks, and one single tear splashes her forearm. That's it. It's not natural for me to be sitting here. I get up and go to her, sitting on the edge of her bed and taking her hands in mine, avoiding going in for a full-on cuddle. It's ridiculous to think that I don't want to push my luck with my own fucking wife. You are not misplaced, I say calmly, seeing more tears fall. Ava, look at me. My demand is way too harsh given our situation. Not that it matters. She looks up at me, and our stares instantly lock, her brown eyes gazing deeply into mine as I squeeze her hands. Her lips part a fraction, and something appears in her eyes, something familiar. Desire. It's faint, but it's there, a small reaction, and I cling to it with everything I have. You feel that? I whisper, starting to fiddle with her ring myself. Her slight nod forces me to swallow down my relief before it chokes me. That's just the very beginning, Ava. That's just the spark that set our worlds alight. Determination is now running rampant through my veins, that small reaction driving it. This head of yours, I gently stroke down her cheek, relishing her slight nuzzle into my palm. It's been consumed by me for 12 years, lady. I'm not about to let you forget our story. I will make you remember. It's my mission objective. I'll do anything. She sniffles, nodding, and everything tells me that she's accepting so easily because there's something inside telling her that she should trust me, that she belongs with me. That smell, she says out of the blue, tugging me toward her. I go with ease, a little taken aback when she buries her face in my neck, no matter how amazing it feels to have her so close. She inhales deeply, and I wrap my arms around her as best I can, not missing the opportunity she's instigated. It's my favorite smell. I smile and close my eyes. I know.
Chapter 9. Ava. I don't recognize him. Not visually, anyway, but my body seems to know exactly who he is. It's like he's familiar to me, yet I can't place him. He's handsome. So very handsome. I can see it even through the sallowness of his skin and glaze of his tired eyes. His scent, a mix of fresh water and the freshest mint, is my favorite, though I don't think I've ever smelt it before. His face, cut with stress, is harsh but soft. His green eyes are sad but hopeful. He looks at me like I'm his savior and his downfall. I feel lost. Lost and bewildered. I'm listening to what people are saying, the doctor, my mum, and it's impossible to comprehend what they're telling me. I'm married. I have 11-year-old twins. I'm not in my early 20s, but I'm in my late 30s. It's madness. And if it weren't for my mother, the woman I trust most in the world, backing up what the doctors are saying, I wouldn't believe it. I wouldn't believe the gaps they're filling in with wild tales of my love for this man and our life together. We were married within a couple of months of knowing each other. I was pregnant within a few weeks. That doesn't sound like me. I've never been hasty when it comes to life-changing decisions, nor careless. I've always been independent and ambitious. The woman they are telling me I am doesn't sound like me. Yet, this man who has been here almost constantly makes something inside me kick. My heart pumps faster when he's here, and my brain feels like it's trying to jumpstart, trying to dislodge memories that I've lost. Memories of him? I'm a mother, I'm a wife, and I have no idea how I'm supposed to do either of those jobs. I have to go home with a man I do not know. I have to take care of two children I do not know, yet everything inside me is telling me to do it. The man, my husband, he radiates comfort. When he held me and let me cry into his chest, I suddenly didn't feel lost anymore. I felt safe, and I'm not sure if that feeling was spiked by my need for someone to just hold me and tell me everything was going to be okay, or if it was simply him that made me feel that way. Just him. My husband.
Chapter 10. This is the stupidest idea you've ever had, Jessie, and you've had some pretty stupid ideas in your time. Elizabeth slams her empty coffee cup down on the table, enraged by my suggestion. I don't flinch, maybe because I'm numb. But my stupid idea is the best chance of getting Ava better. It's been 3 days since she woke up. 3 days of tears, frustration, and hopelessness. For both of us. I've sat in that room studying her, watching her mind spin. Her eyes squint. Her breaths turn shallow as she fights to regain her lost memories. She's seen a therapist who wants to continue the sessions once she leaves the hospital. Ava sounded noncommittal when she murmured her agreement and scheduled another appointment. I don't blame her. That hour was a stress fest for both of us. Each question posed by the therapist resulting in tears from Ava and further agony for me. She can't remember anything about us. The doctor says she's ready to go home, but she's going home with a man she's basically known for 3 days and a couple of kids who are strangers to her. The pain that thought spikes in my chest is excruciating, but that's how it is. I'm being brutally honest with myself and with Elizabeth. Ava doesn't know us. It's my cold, hard reality. I don't want the kids to feel how I'm feeling, Elizabeth. I don't want them to see their mother looking at them like they're strangers because it's fucking agony. But the doctor said she needs her family around her to help her remember. I slam my fist in the table, my frustration getting the better of me. I only feel mildly guilty when Ava's mother jumps out of a chair. She thinks she's 22, for fuck's sake. She's still single in her head, just starting out in her career. Everything after that is gone. And I will move fucking mountains to make sure she finds me and the twins amid that chaos in her poor head. I take a breath and sit back, leaving silence between us. It's a novelty to see my mother-in-law rendered speechless. I'm asking you to take the children on holiday for me. Keep their minds busy. Let them be kids. I promise you, Elizabeth, I swear. I just know if I can spike memories of me and Ava, how we met, how we fell in love, the rest will follow naturally. You have to trust me. I've talked to the school. They're understanding and supportive, given the circumstances. How long do you want? I shrug. A week? Maybe two? I don't know. Maybe all the time in the world won't be enough. Maybe the memories are gone forever. I inwardly flinch. No. I have to be positive. And there's no way on earth I'll survive very long without the kids around. We'll stay in touch every day. Please, Elizabeth, I need this time. Elizabeth's lips purse tightly. I realize she has difficulty letting someone else take charge of a daughter. She always has. But she needs to work with me this time. And what are you planning to say to the children? Because they think their mother is going home to them this evening. She will not make me question myself. I know what is best for my family. I'll talk to them. They'll understand. You hope they'll understand, Jessie. Their worlds have been turned upside down too. They need their father as much as their mother. I brush my hands over the overgrown stubble on my jaw, so fucking exhausted. Hasn't life thrown enough challenges my way? And I'm going to get them both back, I vow. Because right now, Ava and I aren't ourselves. Placing her handbag on her lap, Elizabeth studies me across the table, probably wondering where I might find the strength from.
because I sure as shit look as beaten as I feel.
You look terrible.
Her insult is an acceptance without actually saying the words, untypical of my mother-in-law. Yeah, well, it's been a rough few days, I sigh, looking across the cafe when I spot Kate's red hair. She scans the space for a few seconds before she sees me, then gives the same sympathetic smile she's given me every time I've seen her since Ava was admitted.
Hey,
she says when she arrives at our table. Any news? What, like if my wife knows who I am yet? I ask, getting up from my chair. Neither of them answers my sarcastic question, both remaining silent and awkward. I'm going to pick up the kids. Talk to them.
Where are they?
Elizabeth asks.
With my mum and dad.
I give Elizabeth a kiss in the cheek, squeezing her arm in a sign of my thanks. I know she appreciates my gratitude when she squeezes mine in return.
I'll call you.
Okay. She breaks away and heads towards Ava's room. I'll give her some time with Ava before I head down. Kate links arms with me.
Come on, I'll walk you to your car.
I let Kate's pregnant belly lead the way to the car park, trying to psych myself up for what lies ahead. It's a waste. Nothing can prepare me.
Jesse, you should know there was a report in the local newspaper yesterday about the accident. They mentioned Ava, you, even the damn health club, and her memory loss.
She shrugs when I throw her a questioning look. They're asking for witnesses. I sigh. The police already told me she didn't have a seatbelt on. I'm still so furious with her, but unable to unleash it. Apparently she was reaching into a handbag for a phone. I swallow, batting back my anger.
She has Bluetooth. I don't know why she'd need her phone.
A text, an email. I nod, though no excuse could make her recklessness okay. Elizabeth and Joseph are taking the kids to the coast for a while, I tell Kate, feeling her look up at me in surprise. This is too much for Ava, Kate. I start to explain, hoping she gets where I'm coming from. I can see how overwhelmed she is. Me, the kids, 16 years of missing memories from her life. You're one of the only people in her life that she actually knows right now.
So what are you going to do?
Kate brings us to a stop and turns toward me. The huge hospital sign past her on the side of the colossal building is glowing, despite it still being daylight. An important beacon. I'm sick of the sight of it. Unreasonably, I want to rip it from the bricks and set it alight. She might not ever get her memories back, Kate. I shrug and brace myself for what I'm about to say, daunted. I'm a stranger to her. Just a man. So I have to go back to the beginning and to try and make her fall in love with me again. Kate places her hand on my arm.
You did it before.
You can do it again. I laugh a little under my breath, looking past Ava's best friend. I thank my lucky stars every day of my life that I found her, Kate. That for all my faults, she loved me. I smile a strained smile, one that's full of the sadness I feel. It's a crazy miracle that she accepted me in the first place. I feel like she was my one in a million chance. What if my chance is gone? What if I can't make her see? I reach up to my chest and push my fist into my pecs, trying to stem the building pain. It would be the end of me.
Where's the Jesse Ward we all know and love?
Kate asks seriously, punching me lightly on the bicep.
Love?
I ask in a slight hitch of an amused eyebrow.
Yes, love,
she retorts adamantly, following up her previous light punch with a not-so-light one. Defeated doesn't suit you, Jesse. Ava didn't marry a quitter. In fact, I think you'll find she married you because you didn't quit. A man who doesn't give a shit what people think. A man who tramples anything in his sight to get what he wants. Do you want her back? I look at her stunned.
What?
Your wife. Do you want her back?
Stupid fucking question, I mutter.
And ease off with the punching, will you? She ignores my scorn and points a finger in my face, forcing me to retreat. I have it sticking into my eye socket. Kate's one of those people in this world who you can't help but respect, even if you don't always agree with her. And now she's pregnant, so I would be wise not to argue. Then do what you do best and fight for her. Pulling her bag onto her shoulder, she battles to control her wobbling lip. My best friend didn't marry a fucking pussy. My eyes bug, and then I laugh a little. Call me what you like, but don't ever call me a fucking pussy. Watch your fucking mouth, I mutter, loud but sheepishly, attracting the attention of many people in the vicinity, not that I'm much bothered by it. Kate marches past me, or as well as a heavily pregnant woman can march, which is more of a wobble. Save it for your wife, she yells over her shoulder. I'm not a fucking pussy! I bark at an old man who's stupid enough to come too close. He nearly jumps out of his skin and hotfoots it away from me. There's no room for guilt. It was him or Kate, and Sam would skin me alive if I upset her. I stalk to my car, yank the door open, and throw myself into the seat, looking into the rearview mirror. Jesus, Lord, the state of me. I'm not exactly enhancing my chances of succeeding and making my wife fall in love with me when I look like this. I need to straighten myself out. Desperately. And I need to do it before I pick up the kids. They need to see me looking as normal as possible, so when I explain to them what's happening, they will know that I am 100% together. And I need them to be, too. Chapter 11. When I pull up outside my parents' home, a small bungalow nestled in an idyllic suburb on the outskirts of the city, the kids are out the door before I've had a chance to shut off the engine. The smile that crosses my face isn't forced. They're the only respite I have at the moment, the only peace in my rocky world, and while holding it together in front of them is adding to my exhaustion, I'm feeding off their love and their need to be close to me right now. Jumping out of my car, I remove my shades and brace myself for their attack. They reach me at the same time, each finding their places in my side. Can we go now? Maddie asks, looking up at me. It's the question I was prepared for, yet the words I've practiced all morning disappear on me. Let's head inside, I say, leading them toward the front door. I need to talk to you guys. What is it? Jacob's gone from my side in a heartbeat. Is it Mum? Is she okay? She's fine, I assure him, placing my hand in his mop of dirty blonde hair and pulling him back into me. I've been thinking, and I want to share my thoughts with you two.
What about?
Maddie asks.
Are you going to stop us going to the hospital again?
Jacob's tone is defensive.
You are, aren't you, Dad? Why? Doesn't Mum want to see us?
My heart bleeds, and I hold him tighter into my side. She's desperate to see you. I stretch the truth a little, if only for the sake of my kids. I've caught Ava a few times this week, feeling her tummy, and I know every time she's had a shower she's been studying the small collection of stretch marks on her stomach, trying to get her head around the fact that she's a mother of 11-year-old twins. When I asked her if she wanted to see her children, I could see the mental battle she was having in her head, and the tears flowed quickly after. Listening to my wife tell me that she didn't want to disappoint them tore my heart out. And when she begged me to help her remember them, getting herself in a state, crying and shouting, I decided what needed to be done. I need to tell her our story from the very beginning in the only way I know how. With actions. Where to start is the biggest question. I look up to the front door and see my mum and dad standing on the porch watching us. Their faces are both sad. I know mum can't bear seeing me like this. I try to disguise my devastation, but there's nothing a son can't keep from his mother, whether he's 10 or 50. I give my father a strange smile when he raises his hand, telling me he's got it covered. So diverting the kids away from the door, I walk them down to the garden and sit them on the bench overlooking his vegetable patch.
She's trying so hard to get better for you both, I tell them. And I need to help her do that.
You mean remember us, Maddie corrects me, holding my hand as if she could fall down a hole if she let go of me.
She's keeping me from falling down that hole too. I nod, not prepared to lie and crouch down in front of them, squeezing their hands. You see, there's a small part of Mum's brain that's not quite working properly at the moment.
Because of the bang on her head? Jacob asks.
Yes, because of that.
It's like the keys jammed, keeping the memories all locked up.
I need to unjam that key.
Maddie's bottom lip starts to tremble, and her eyes fill with sad tears.
How could she forget us, Daddy?
If at any point in my life I've wanted to rip my heart out and serve it at the feet of hope, then it's now. This moment, looking at my children who are so devastated.
She hasn't forgotten you,
I tell them firmly, constricting my hold of their hands.
She's just momentarily misplaced her memories.
I'm going to help her find them, I promise.
Tell me you believe me. Tell me you trust your daddy.
Both of them nod, and I reach forward to yank them both into my chest, cuddling them with a force like no other. I'm strong. I need them to feel my strength.
Nan and Pap are going to take you away to the coast for a week or two while I help Mum, okay? You'll love it down in Newquay. You need to have some fun. Take Pap surfing and help Nan catch some sandworms.
Pap can't surf, Jacob chuckles through his tears, the sound washing over me like the best kind of medicine.
And Nan's scared of sandworms.
I cluck his cheek. Then make sure you hide one in a handbag.
She'll know you told us to do it.
Maggie rolls her red eyes before rubbing under them.
She'll curse you to hell again.
I'm already going to hell in your Nan's eyes. I rub some hair away from Maddie's face and ruffle Jacob's mop.
Look after them for your Mum, yeah?
Jacob moves in and takes his sister's hand, a sign of the solidarity and determination.
My babies.
And you'll look after Mum.
Help her,
he asks.
I promise.
How do we know she'll ever remember us?
Maddie, my little live wire, my spirited, defiant little madam, isn't as sure as her brother, and seeing her take the comfort Jacob is offering shreds me and warms me at the same time.
Because your dad said she will. I cough through my closing throat.
And what your dad says is law.
We know, they say in unison, looking at each other and smiling, as if silently agreeing that they trust me.
Which is good, because they should. And I will not let them down.
Chapter 12. I arrive at the hospital to find Ava's doctor speaking with the head nurse. She nods, he nods. She speaks, he speaks. She frowns, he frowns. Everything okay? I ask as I near. We were just going to call you. I'm instantly worried.
Why?
I look across to Ava's room, seeing her sitting on the edge of the bed, dressed and waiting, her fingers spinning her wedding ring.
Your wife was getting a little restless, he smiles fondly. I told her I'd chase you up.
I'm sorry. The children are going away with their grandparents, I tell him, watching as Ava looks up and spots me. I smile mildly, getting one in return. This is so weird, and the weirdness doesn't seem to be lessening one iota. I had to make sure they had everything they needed. I return my attention to the doctor.
The children are going away,
he asks, making it sound like I'm sending them away. It has my hackles rising, though I fight to rein myself in. I don't need anyone questioning my decision as their father, or as Ava's husband. They need some time out from this madness, I explain, diplomatic and calm, though it takes everything out of me. And if I'm going to help Ava remember us, I need to go back to the beginning of our story.
Your story? I laugh under my breath. Yes, our story. Let's just say it would make a cracking novel. My hand sweeps through my hair. We're not your average couple, Doc. I sigh, thinking how best to word it so he has a chance of understanding. He'd need to know us to understand. He'd need to have seen what we've been through. When I met my wife, it was like an atomic bomb went off in my chest. I avoid mentioning that it felt like an atomic bomb went off in my trousers, too. It's inappropriate. It was like a part of my soul fused with a part of hers, and there was nothing I could do to stop it. It was the most incredible feeling. I look back into the room and find Ava still staring at me. Unforgettable, I whisper, watching her eyes fall to my lips. Which makes this all the more difficult to accept, because how could she forget? Us, the intensity of our relationship, and everything we've been through together. I tear my gaze away from the woman who holds my life in her hands and return my attention to the doctor. I'm scared to fucking death that those memories are gone forever. He smiles like he understands, but he really doesn't. No one possibly could. You'll make new memories. I shake my head. Nothing can replace them. He nods this time, not countering me. Here are the details of Ava's appointment. He hands me an envelope. We removed the dressing on her head this morning. It's healing nicely, but keep it clean. The same with her leg. You have my number, Mr. Ward. Anything that might be worrying you, just call. I take it and move past him, heading toward Ava's room. My body is heavy. It feels like I could be walking against a gale force wind, the relentless gusts not only holding my body back, but catching in my throat too, making breathing harder. When I enter, I stand like a statue for a few seconds, at a loss for what comes next. Bag, I blurt, rushing over to get it from beside her. Are you okay to walk? Any other day I'd have picked her up without a word, whether she'd liked it or not. Quite frankly, all this asking is fucking alien, and I hate it. She pushes herself up off the bed a little gingerly, and my instinct kicks in. I drop the bag immediately, desperate to ease Ava's struggle and help her to her feet. She clings to me with both hands, one on each of my forearms as she straightens. I don't know whether it's because she needs to or wants to. Thank you. Don't ever thank me for looking after you, Ava. I don't mean to sound affronted, but it's unavoidable. You are my wife. It's what I've been put on this earth to do. She looks up at me, a small frown crossing her forehead, and I find myself holding my breath, waiting for her to tell me she remembers something. Remembers me saying that before, because I know for damn sure I have. Or any recollection, no matter how small or insignificant she thinks it is. But when she shakes her head, I realize it's not coming. I sigh deeply and get us moving, slowly but surely, constantly checking her for any signs of pain, or that this little trip is too much. She's focused forward, concentrating hard on the simple task of putting one foot in front of the other. It's so painful to watch her struggle. I can't do it. I swing around to the nurse's station. Are there any fucking wheelchairs around here? The nurse scans the area, clearly panicked. I can't even bring myself to feel bad. They're all taken at the moment, sir, but if you don't mind waiting, I'll try to track one down. Don't bother, I'll fucking carry her. Turning back to Ava, I find round, startled eyes. I'm carrying you, I inform her. Just out of courtesy, dipping and gently lifting her into my arms. She doesn't protest, which is a good job because I'm not watching her limp out of here. She's studying me as I stride down the hall, probably assessing how tight my jaw is. I try to relax it, try to ease my strung muscles. I feel like I could explode with stress, with hope, with despair. Up ahead, a pair of double doors swings open. A gurney being pushed out by a porter. And on the bed, a body, the face covered by a white sheet. I find my feet slowing and my eyes putting Ava there. on that bed, dead. My blood runs cold. Jesse? I jolt and look down to find my wife looking up at me with concern. I quickly shake away my morbid thoughts of what could have been. She's still here, with me. She might not be a normal self, but she's still here. I hold her tighter. I can't help it. Come on, let's get you home. Home, she sighs, turning her eyes away from me. Where is that again? Anywhere I am, I say, letting my usual candidness where my wife's concerned creep back. Is she smiling a little? Okay, I ask. Not wanting to presume she's finding me funny, or maybe recognizing little pieces of us. But what else could she be smiling at? You seem like the bossy type. I laugh out loud, the burst of amusement completely unstoppable. You have no idea, lady. No idea. I don't like being told what to do, just so you know. Oh, I know. I laugh again. Feeling a small amount of pressure lifting from my shoulders. Only small, but still. I look down and unleash my smile, the one I reserve only for her, the one she's not seen since she came around. It definitely has the desired effect, her body going a little lax in my arms. It's another small sign. And just so you know, that'll soon change. She scoffs. It's the sweetest sound, even if it's forced. I don't think so. My smile widens, because that right there was my wife. Defiant. Difficult. Mine. Hope flourishes within me. Chapter 13. I watch her neck crane a little as we pull up the driveway to our home, her eyes taking in the grounds of our little manor. I live here? She asks, clearly astonished. We live here, I correct her, rolling to a stop. Have done for nearly 11 years. I jump out and round the car, leaving Ava still taking in her surroundings from the passenger seat. I open a door. But when she shows no sign of getting out of my Aston, I dip and reach across her to unclip her seatbelt. My cheek brushes her lips innocently, and she freezes, breathing in sharply. I freeze too, my face millimeters from hers. From my peripheral vision, I can see her lips are pressed together, her eyes wide. Have I startled her? Set her heart racing with my closeness? Something tells me it's both. My eyes drop to her lips, instinct demanding me to just kiss her. Kiss her. Consume her. Maybe that'll trigger whatever it is that needs to be triggered. But she turns away from me, and the hope flourishing inside me dies a little. I clear my throat and back off, giving her space to get out of the car, which she does quietly and slowly, ignoring my offered hand. She takes slow, tentative steps toward the door. Slow because of her injured leg. And tentative because, painfully for me, she's nervous. Every so often she peers over her shoulder at me. I say nothing, just follow her. Feeling as hopeless could be. I push the front door open and stand back and she hovers on the threshold, looking around the entrance hall. I simply wait for her to find whatever courage she needs to enter. The kid's shoes are scattered in the corner, the small patch of marble tiles dulled from the mud they've brought in from the garden. It's a small, silly sign of our family life, but it has Ava's undivided attention. Her home. Her hand comes up to her chest, and I see the pulses of it under her palm. Take your time, I murmur gently. She looks up at me and smiles a tiny smile, before going back to taking in the space before her. She takes a step inside, toward the collection of photographs lining the wall above the console table. My heart thrums in my chest as she edges closer to the pictures.
Her hand reaches up to one of us on our wedding day, her lips slipping between her teeth that gently bite it. Then she spends a while staring at one of me, kneeling and kissing her pregnant tummy, her hand resting on her midriff as she